People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg with my friend and co-host, Larry.
You remembered my name.
I barely remembered it. It's been so long.
Yeah, it has. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe four.
I think it's been two and a half, 3 weeks since we've seen each other.
Yeah.
I needed the vacation from you, but I I kid. I was on a little holiday. I was away for a week and change, about 8 days, 9 days, and came back really chomping at the bit to do this show. And you know why?
Because I'm here.
Well, no, absolutely not. All the things that happened in the past week have just affected me massively. When I say all the things, it's like there's always something. You know, depending on the day, there's a different
topic.
It
seems like it always comes in bursts, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Just like with the fires and everything.
So I'm sitting on the couch in New Jersey, my sister's home, in Kinnelon, New Jersey, and I get a text message from the president of this company who knows, like he lives in New York and he knows that I live and myself and Brad all live very close to the station. So he said, please confirm you are not in Gilroy right now. And I was like, I'm not in Gilroy, I'm in New Jersey. And Brad's like, I'm not in Gilroy, I'm in Chicago. And I was like, why is he asking this? So I Google real quick. And I see Gilroy Garlic Festival. I'm like, okay. And then I see active shooter on the grounds at Gilroy Garlic Festival. Mm-hmm. And my heart went into my throat because I've been there three of the past 4 years, including last year, and spent a lot of hours there. I mean, hours there. And I started to think like I was there and that could have been me. And I just had this terrible feeling wash over me about it. And I sat up and watched the news for three or four more hours. It's late on the East Coast at this point. So it's like one or two in the morning and I'm just couldn't stop watching the news because it hadn't been, it was an active scene. And mm-hmm. they kept saying that they hadn't no news on the shooter and what was going on. And I was just concerned. I just thought, oh, I got to get back and we got to do a show about this. And then I find out a couple of days later about the El Paso shooting in Walmart. And I couldn't believe it. This was even more violent. It was even more deaths, more injured people. And then I wake up on Sunday and I watched a news thing and I see on the screen, I'm thinking I'm watching something about El Paso. And it says, I see Dayton. I'm like, why are they talking to somebody in Dayton, Ohio about something that happened in El Paso? Didn't even realize there had been another shooting less than 24 hours later in a different place. And I just thought to myself, I can't even imagine what I can do to help, but I need to get on the air. We need to talk about this somehow mm-hmm. and see what we can do somehow locally.
Unfortunately, we've had this conversation before in the past.
And too many times.
Yeah, too many times in the past, going on 5 years that we've been airing this show.
What went through your mind through all this, Larry, as you see, you know, we all kind of go through our own range of emotions. You worry about your family, you worry about your loved ones, you worry about your grandchildren, children, whatever. What went through your mind at that time when you started, especially like the Gilroy one, which is very close to home for us?
Well, I always think about the kids. Mm-hmm. First, you know, I always think about the kids and how do we protect our kids from things like this happening. And the other thing is that it's becoming so common anymore. It's almost like in the news every month or two, something like this going on. Yeah. So, I mean, I just really got sad.
Yeah.
And it's just a very sad state of affairs. And you start to think, you know, well, what can we do to try to prevent something like this from happening in the future? And what can we look for? That kind of thing. And you and I were talking about it before the show. So, and we also talked about banning assault weapons, which I'm 100% for.
Yeah. First things 100% first. Like, I think we all agree.
Yeah.
Almost all of us. At
yeah.
least.
Why would, it's a common sense kind of thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason why we have to have an assault weapon. I mean, if you're law enforcement or military, something like that, you use it in your line of work, yes, but not as a private citizen, no way.
Right. So what we thought of is we sat in the office prior to doing this for an hour or so, just talking about what is it that we should focus this on. So we thought over the next couple of weeks, this week and then the following weeks of August, maybe we would work towards getting guests. Like we have somebody from, we have a contact over at NAMI. Who we really thought might be great. It's mental awareness, mm-hmm. mental health awareness, mental illness. And mm-hmm. we thought, okay, we could start here. What can we do as a group of people locally to at least fix something here, something we can tangibly touch and fix? We can't fix the national problem. We can't fix, you know, how children are raised in different parts of the country or what their circumstances in life are. We have no control over that. We can't control the NRA. We can't control the, you know, the gun measures in the country. We just don't have that kind of effect. But mm-hmm. what we can do is start on a local level, raising awareness, raising our kids to think a certain way, getting involved, so that way maybe we can help our own community, which will in turn, you know, contribute to the larger picture. It feels overwhelming to even say this because we know how big it is. The issue's so big right now. And I don't see how there's any end in sight. But we can't think like that because once you start thinking it's too big, you stop caring about it, right? Just like we talked about how the Gilroy Garlic Festival shootings feel like they were 6 years ago because two major things have happened since. Mm-hmm. So that becomes so far from our minds and it's only a week old, right? Maybe not locally, maybe not in the community because we all day to day with it. But if you talk to somebody now in Virginia about that, they're going to be more talking about what happened in the last one or the one prior to that. It goes back to the Sandy Hook shootings, right? It's almost a forgotten day.
Well, farther beyond. Goes back to Columbine.
Again, it's
look
almost
at Columbine.
Like we forget.
You know, how many students were killed as automatic weapons again. Yeah. And there were more than one person involved in that one, for sure. But it's scary. But you know, you talk about being overwhelmed. Yeah, I mean, it's about anything. But look at all the people we interview that start nonprofit organizations. They mm-hmm. start as one, usually, with an idea, a thought, and a need that needs to be filled. And this is no different than that.
Yeah, it is. True.
And this, I mean, think about it. I mean, there's got to be some kind of a grassroots type of thing going on to where we, first and foremost, need to ban the weapons. I mean, that's my opinion.
I'm with you. I mean, this
to start with.
So we were talking prior. I read an article in the paper yesterday, and it said, and this is, I don't know how they get these numbers, but this is something that they suggested, that about 10 to 12% of the extreme gun lobbyists, like so the NRA basically, those people, and the ones who are very for guns, they're about 10%, the extreme. Sometimes even less. It's probably even less than 10%. And then those that oppose guns in an extreme manner, like everyone in the world should be destroyed, every gun in the world should be destroyed or whatever, are on the other end of the poll at 10%, right? So say 10 to 12%. So that puts it around, say, 25% of the people in the country are extreme on their opinions. Mm-hmm. That means that there's 70 to 75% of the population in this country, probably in the world, that are in the middle somewhere. Either I don't believe that guns should be legal, but I understand that if you want to hunt and do it properly, or if you want to protect your family and have a gun in a safe in your home to protect yourself and your family, I believe that should be allowed. But I think there should be better gun laws. I think there should be stricter gun laws. I think there should be better background checks. And then those who are on the other side who believe in guns and should have them, I should be able to carry one, they would agree. You shouldn't be able to have automatic weapons and what do you call them, assault rifles, mm-hmm. and you should have better background checks and so on. So the extremists aside, there's 75% of us that are at least willing to talk about what we can do better. And almost every one of these people, probably even in the extremes, don't want to see what we saw the other day and these past weeks. None of them want to see this. And this is the time when it's fresh to take action. President Trump should right now be thinking of how I can just ban assault weapons, figure it out now. I guarantee you, this is bipartisan, and even he said that. This is not a Republican or Democrat issue. This is bipartisan.
Board, yeah.
So everybody's input should be accepted and considered, and we should come up with something today and tomorrow that changes something. At least we as the people feel secure in that we're all trying. Even those who we know, in President Trump's case, support the NRA. Even those who we know who are adamantly against President and the current registration or administration, they'll see there's action being taken. I think we all agree that that's the way that we could begin this. Mm-hmm. And then we go from there. We start healing, we start building. I just don't know why that can't happen.
It can, but there's always interests involved.
Yeah, politically or monetarily?
Yeah, both. Mm-hmm. Always both, I would say, in this day and age, for sure, politically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we, because Greg and I, we share our opinions mostly just between the two of us. Sometimes it splashes over on the show, but not too often. But opinions aside, I mean, this is one thing I think most of us can agree with, just like you said, that I think at the very root of it are the assault weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Because they take out mass numbers of people all at once. You don't even have to aim. It's like taking a blown off or a sawed-off shotgun and aiming at five people. We get them all.
You just spray around.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. So that's nonsense. So I think it starts with that. But we're talking about, because Greg and I, we're not authorities on any of this stuff, but we have people on the show that are. So we should have somebody on the show that can address the mental health part of it. And I think law enforcement.
This is what I question. Can somebody in law enforcement come on and talk about this? I'm sure if you go to the top of the chain, like a sergeant or a staff sergeant or whatever, captain, I don't know how the ranks work, but maybe somebody up top can. But I don't know if it's even allowed that you can come on and talk. Because, again, like for me, I don't believe my opinion matters on this show. It matters to me. It matters to people.
It may matter
to a few people. But, like, I'm not here to give my opinion on this show. This isn't a forum for Greg Perillo to have his thoughts come out. That, if that was the case, I would take myself off of this show. It's really about speaking for other people. You are the same. You know, you're not here to give – force your opinion on people. We're talking, we really want to start the conversation.
Yeah.
I want to debate. I think the best thing in the world is debating with somebody and gently debating so you can learn something. If you are a debater that is shut off to the other person's opinion, you're not a good debater and you shouldn't even be in the conversation.
I agree.
The people who want to talk from both sides that can listen and even say, you know what, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. Those are the people that we kind of need to have here.
Yeah. You come to conclusions and compromise that way.
Because if you're firmly in a position against something, you're never going to even listen. You're never going to stray.
Yeah, true.
Right now, at this point in time, it isn't going to help anybody if you are adamant or like vehemently against or for something. Because that's where you're just shut off.
Well, you said that properly.
What?
Vehemently.
I didn't say it properly?
No, you did.
Oh, okay.
Proud of you, because most of the time I can't pronounce it correctly.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. It's rare I get a compliment from you, especially on a day like this. But no, I think there's a very strong desire for people now to do something and to make changes. Just like when 9/11 happened, if you remember, Lair, they said, look, when you go fly, you need to leave 3 hours early because we're going to take a lot of time screening you to get through and make sure it's safe. And not one person I knew complained. They didn't say, it's taking too long or I got to be there so early, it's going to ruin
not
my
like
life. Because
now,
you
they
knew they had
now.
To be safe. But after a couple months, people were like, this is ridiculous. I got to take off my shoes. It's like, did you forget what happened? But it took a lot longer for that event because it was so powerful, so grand, that I think people were so overwhelmed by it. It took like 6-8 months to a year before people started like even going to comedy shows again. Like it really was.
It really impacted
because it was so big. But these other things that happen over time, it almost is like, we are all on the same team. I feel like this is when we all get on the same team, bipartisan, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what side you're on. We're all Americans. We're all sad. We're all upset about this. So these are the times where we have to take advantage of, I guess, people letting down their – or putting up their guard, actually, and they're more willing to accept a change because it's so fresh. But the minute you forget and the minute a few weeks go by, it goes right back to the same thing again where people get fed up and they have no patience. And so we need to do something today. Otherwise, the next one's going to come too soon.
The only thing I don't like about when things like this happen, I mean, there's nothing to like about it.
Yeah.
But when people use it for a special interest.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
It's only their agenda that really matters.
Can you give an example of that? Like, even if it's a...
It could be gun control. It could be anything that have to do with guns. They use that. Every time something like this happens, they use that as a... like a club in a way to get their agenda pushed through. But see, they're doing it for a different motive, though. I'm totally against that kind of thing.
Right.
Do what's right. I mean, do what really is right.
Right.
Not because you believe in it, but because it's the right thing to do. I mean, to ban all guns, I'm not for that. I've never been for that, but I am for banning these kinds of guns,
right,
because I see what it does. It's, you know, it's just kind of crazy. Special interests, I'm totally against that.
Well, the media is at fault for a lot of
I think
happens.
So.
And I'm, you know, here we are. We're part of the media. I don't think of myself
but
as
But we
a
don't
typical,
use it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, because I don't. And the station is never. And no. Really all I can control is this station. And I don't think we are
yeah.
ever using it for those reasons. Mm-hmm. And motivating. Our motives are always sincere. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes it can be used as a powerful tool, like this show. We're allowed to talk about these things, whereas it's a music radio station. So most of the time you're going to hear music here. Great music. But it's not about this. But mm-hmm. this isn't about politics. This is about the community, right?
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
But what happens is the media does kind of control the narrative. And that's what a lot of people believe happens in these situations. Like, for example, they pushed something up saying that in Chicago yesterday, I was starting to tell you this, but I couldn't find the article. Yes, today's paper or yesterday's paper said, the headline in the New York Post said, there were 59 shootings in Chicago this past weekend, 59 shootings, 7 of them were deadly, were murders. It almost as if they're saying, look at how bad this is. This is a problem. It's not just it's not just the places where we've been hearing about in the news. This is going on everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked into it because I was like, this is an interesting article for the Post to put in because the Post is notoriously a little more conservative,
mm-hmm.
unlike the Times and the Daily News in New York, which are very liberal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most media is liberal-leaning, and there are Republican and conservative outlets. Just look at Fox News. But I'm saying most lean liberal, and that's just the way it's always been, right or wrong. So
yeah,
this paper is normally conservative. And I'm like, why would they put this in here? And then I read the article, and then I went and did some research. On any given weekend in the year 2019, there's anywhere between 46 and 75 shootings in Chicago. That's crazy, by the way, in itself. In
mm-hmm.
a weekend, 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any weekend. So they were putting this in as a headline, is basically saying this is what's average. Without saying it, they should have said this is the average amount that's happening every weekend in Chicago. This is a problem. They made it like, look at what else. This is how bad guns are. You know, this is what's happening around.
So in other words, they were saying all guns.
Yeah, essentially.
More or less.
I felt like it was. I don't know. It felt like they
well,
were just using
feels like it.
Like you just said, they were using it as an agenda to say something to control the narrative, instead of just saying, like, this is what's happening in Chicago, which is obviously anybody who's lived in this country long enough knows that there is a major,
mm-hmm.
major gun problem in Chicago. South Side of Chicago is one of the hardest and most violent neighborhoods in the whole country.
Yeah, it is.
It makes like Compton and the Bronx and Harlem and Detroit almost look like Disney World.
And I never would have thought that. You know, I never
it's
would
so
have.
Bad. You cannot go into South Side of Chicago after a certain time and expect to be okay. It's just you're asking for trouble if you go into those areas, and it's a terrible thing because it's beautiful there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful and it's notoriously so bad. But again, if you are going to talk about that and you're going to put that as a headline in the paper and then follow it up with, this got your attention, but this is going on every week of the year, this is the average essentially of what's happening every year. But what they did was, I almost felt they used the opportunity when people are a little reeling from these murders and saying, like, this is what happened also in Chicago this weekend, and not explaining the relative reasoning behind it or why they put it up. It's just crazy to me. What were you going to say?
Let's go back 3 or 4 decades, and let's compare then to now. What was different?
How so?
Any way you want to look at it. What was life like in the United States 30, 40 years ago?
I think it was drastically different.
Mm-hmm.
But relative, right? So, because every generation thinks they've got it worse than the one before, right?
Yes and no.
I think that's accurate.
When you say relative, what do you mean by that?
Meaning, like, at the time, so if you go back to 1955,
mm-hmm.
people say it was a simple time, right? Like, we had...
Or simpler, at least.
Yeah, we had, you know, white picket fence. People owned homes. They got home at 10 o'clock. It just seemed easy. There was less. You had one TV in the house, maybe. You had one car, maybe. You didn't have credit cards. Simpler.
Mm-hmm.
But at those times, you had the Great Depression. You had discrimination.
No, 50s wasn't the Great Depression.
No. I'm saying, like, you were coming out
30s,
of it. Oh,
30s,
20s. I'm talking about the 50s, though. Like, coming out of that. Racism was a massive problem in the country. You couldn't, if you were an African American, you weren't even allowed in the same building as a white person. You couldn't drink out of the same water fountain. You couldn't get on the same bus as them. That's a major problem. So if you were an African-American at that time, it was not easy and simple. It was a lot harder.
It was.
Every generation seems to think the one before screwed them up and thinks they have it the worst. But the 60s, it was drugs. It was LSD. It was housewives taking painkillers. It was unemployment. It was the Nixon administration lying to people or whatever. Watergate. It was Vietnam, which was terrible. There were so many things, right? And then in the 70s, it was recovery. Then it became about drugs. It became about cocaine. It became about free love. It was always something.
Yeah, there's a thread that runs through all of that. But I was thinking in terms more of violence.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Gun violence. No, that's fine. I didn't really explain it. But I would be really interested in knowing, you know, what the stats were back then as opposed to what they are. They can population.
Gun control-wise? Or guns?
Just gun-wise. Gun violence. Yeah, it would be. Because
we could find out right now. Continue.
Okay, because I was involved in that when I was a teenager. I saw what went on around. I saw people get shot and stabbed, hit in the head with baseball bats.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was not an active participant in any of that other than fist fighting. I had plenty of that. Mm-hmm. Along with my brother, but it's because the neighborhood that we grew up in. But I saw that around me. But it was nothing like it is now as far as mass shootings go.
Let's face it. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree. I mean, well, you had like, what was the one in Ohio? The one back when Crosby, Stills, Nash wrote about the song about it was the killing in Kent. Was it Kent, Ohio?
Oh, Kent University. Yeah. That was, yeah.
So here's the thing. I just went to this site. It's called everytownresearch.com, right? It's for gun safety. Again, I don't know what the agenda is here, so excuse me, but I'm just giving straight statistics. Every day, 100 Americans are killed with guns and hundreds more are shot and injured. So they did this site where they do guns by average deaths per year. In America, suicide 22,274 with gun, homicide 12,830. Of those, 487 unintentional deaths, 496 shootings by law enforcement, and then 295 are undetermined. Okay, gun injuries by intent, total 100,120. Assault 76,258. Self harm 4,000. Shootings by law enforcement, 1,300. Unintentional, 18,362. Now, you can interpret this however you want, but here's some, you know, you look at like suicide. I'm going to move past suicide because that's not in the. One third of gun deaths are homicides. The U.S. gun homicide rate is 25 times higher than that of other high income countries. Access to gun increases the risk of death of homicide by 2 times. Gun homicides are concentrated in cities. Half of all gun homicides took place in just 127 cities, which represented nearly a quarter of the U.S. population. Black Americans represent the majority of gun homicide victims. In fact, blacks are 10 times more likely than white Americans to die by gun homicide. So this is a gun control website. I'm not sitting here because I can almost hear father saying right now, Who is this? Like, I'm sure they're presenting it in a way, and they probably are. But it's just simple statistics we're going by here, and I'm not trying to hammer anybody with it, but that's scary numbers, 100,000. Mm-hmm. 100,000 people dying by gun, by homicide, or by shooting a gun is too many people in a year. We're not that big. We are big, but there's only 50 states.
So I mean, this is a very complex and layered thing.
Yeah, very.
I mean, obviously it is. And I always go back, I think a lot just like you do. We both continue to think too much sometimes. But I was thinking when you were talking, there's got to be, why in a country like America where a lot of people want to live?
Right.
First of all, why would you want to live here if it's that bad? I don't know. But I wonder, what is the cause? There's got to be more. It's not the guns. The gun is not the cause. It's just the means to carry out something a lot deeper. What is it?
I don't know.
Underneath that, this is the thing, though. I mean, if we take guns away from everybody or stop issuing guns, that's one way to attack the problem. but it goes way deeper than that. Is it because most of the people that commit the crimes are at poverty level, and this is a country of have and have nots, and so we're tired of not having when other people do, and there's so much emphasis that's been put on that. We just feel put down and put down and put down until we can't take it anymore.
Right.
So I think, and this is what makes it so much more difficult, though. This is where we have to go and focus, too. I mean, it goes way beyond the gun control thing. It's far deeper than that.
I agree with that.
But what is it, though? What really is it? And I think when we really start to focus on that, including gun control, especially for assault weapons, right away, that needs to be dealt with, for me, as far as I'm concerned. But it goes way beyond that. And where do we start, and who do we talk to about that?
That's really what this is going to be about now for us, right? Yeah. I just saw something interesting. I just looked at a graph of gun owners as a percentage of each state's population. This was 2010, okay? Mm. Only 1, 2, 3 states in the country have 15% or below the state population. One of them being New Jersey, which is surprising to me. Massachusetts, and it looks like that's Rhode Island. Yeah, Newport. Yeah, so Rhode Island. Okay, so those are the only 3 states with less than 15%. The states with over 50% of the population, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's too many for me to list, so I'm not going to list them off. But Texas, it looks like that is Arkansas, Kansas. Then you go up into the Pacific, well, the north, really, Montana, North and South Dakota, which you probably for hunting purposes, I would imagine, up that way. I don't think there's many issues with people breaking and entering in Montana. There's a million people in that huge state.
Yeah.
Idaho. Those are northern. And then Mexico, greater than 70%. Which is, I did not know that.
Mexico or New Mexico?
No, Mexico. This is outside. I'm just looking at that number.
Oh, okay.
New Mexico is also over 50%. But anyway, over California and Florida, both, I thought Florida would be way higher than, it's less than 30% in Florida ownership. California is also less than 30%, but still sort of middle of the pack. I didn't think that many because we have strict gun laws here.
But we're very liberal here, too.
That's what I'm saying. Liberal, but usually liberal means less guns.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why we're lesser.
But it's still higher than it should be. Like, for example, there are many states that are, and we're huge, but it's by population, percentage by population. Mm-hmm. So it's all kind of relative, right?
Yeah.
So we are way higher on ownership of guns in this state than I would have imagined, mm-hmm. Looking at this on a map, we're in the same area. We're Florida, New York, areas where you would never. New York is less than 40%. I read that wrong. But there's areas, Chicago, Illinois, for example, is around the same as ours.
Really? I would have thought it would have been
me
higher,
too. But anyway, this is an interesting thing. So you can kind of see the problem that like only 3 states have less than 15%. Ownership based on population size, three states, that's it out of 50?
Yeah, that's
it's just a concern.
High.
So we got to figure it out, and we're hoping our job is not going to give you our opinions. Giving you our opinions, it's going to be about presenting you with true, real statistics and also the people that are actually going to help us get there together.
We want to get the thought process moving. So we want you, our listeners, to start thinking about a lot of this too.
And if you are a law enforcement agent or if somebody who works in local law enforcement,
come on the show.
If you know anybody that can come and talk to us, or if you could point us in the direction, we will reach out to them. But we just kind of, or if you want to come on and you have the authority to do so, we'd love to speak to you.
Absolutely.
Next week, we think we might have someone set up for this. We're not going to say it for sure, but we want to line up the next few weeks of August. So let's see.
You got it.
I finally got it. I've been saying September all day. So let's get the conversation going. And at the very least, we'll help ourselves on a local level, become more educated, become more informed, and then we can use these as tools to help fix the grander problem, which we can't fix overnight. Right?
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
Think about what we've been talking about today.
Spend a minute with it.
At least. Yeah.
Thank you, Larry. This was a very informative show.
It was.
You gave a lot of yourself, unusually, so I appreciate it.
That's
derogatory, I'm sure.
No, it's not. I'm joking. Thank you for doing this, Larry, as always. I'll look forward to next week's show. We're going to continue this conversation.
Yes,
let's just hope and pray. My one thought for a leave here is let's pray that there's not another one of these events when we come back to the studio next week. I just hope that we're still talking about these events.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we'll be back with another edition of People Helping People on Baldy 92.3 FM.